a new one for me. Sound like others were in the process of learning it too. It's always good to learn a new song. What if we might open our Bibles this morning to First Epistle of Paul to Timothy, and we want to read a few verses beginning with chapter 1 and verse 12. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, beginning with verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Nevertheless, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We see in this particular passage how the Apostle Paul, who was known as Saul before he was known as Paul, was a blasphemer. One that actually had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor. I have a note in my Bible that speaks here about the fact that he did blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ, and that this is an indication, and a very strong indication, to the fact that Jesus Christ was God. Because Paul certainly didn't blaspheme the God of Israel, but he did blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. We've often heard, for instance, people use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain. We never hear people say, "Oh, Buddha," or "Oh, Mohammedan." We hear people using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking that name in vain. And it's such a common thing. You hear it all the time. But Paul wasn't one that took the name of the God of Israel in vain, as he understood it. But he considered himself, and he indeed was, a blasphemer and a persecutor. And when we look at his conversion, we see that the Apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul, was challenged by the Lord Jesus, and he was guilty of persecuting the Lord. But he says, "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." It's a bad thing to have unbelief. It's a bad thing to be ignorant in unbelief. But so often that's the case. But Paul went on to describe the grace of God and how the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. We have no need to look further for the grace of our Lord, for the grace of God. Paul said that he was the worst of all sinners. Paul said that he was the chief of all sinners. And so we can see that this grace that reached down to him can surely reach to us as well. Perhaps we've taken the name of the Lord our God in vain. Perhaps we've taken the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in vain. Perhaps in our hearts we've really persecuted, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we have spoken ill of his people, of those that he has purchased with his own precious blood. But the Lord's grace is sufficient. We might look at this portion of the Word of God and think of particularly verse 15, where it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." We might think about Grace Bible Chapel, how we preach the gospel. We preach it as a certainty. It's truth. It's not some fable that's been made up. It's not something that is just an imaginary situation. But it's like the song that we were singing. The Lord Jesus takes hold of our lives, and He doesn't let go. He takes us and puts us into His hand. He tells us that if we place our faith and trust in Him, that He'll never let us go. That we're placed in His hand, and we preach the gospel as a certainty. Paul says, "This is a faithful saying." We do not doubt the truth of this message, the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. We don't doubt it at all. We base our lives upon it. And if we were to doubt it, we couldn't expect anyone to place their own faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We couldn't expect you to believe it. We believe and are sure because this is a revelation from God. It is a faithful saying. This isn't just words written. These are not just words written in a book, but they are the words of God. And the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is so very important for us. For instance, we can read in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Christ, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." This is a revelation of God, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It's not something imagined. It's not something that we were necessarily brought up in. It's something that has come into our hearts and into our lives and transformed us and given us the assurance that God Himself is speaking to us through that good news. This good news, this faithful saying, is a revelation of God. This gospel also was attested to by miracles performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the wonderful things that He did in order to convince the people of His time that were seeing these miracles that He indeed came from God and that He indeed did bring good news. We think of the healings that the Lord Jesus performed. We think of the blind that He healed. A man born blind from birth. It had never before been heard of that a man born blind from birth could receive his sight. But the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of God, gave that man his sight. He did many other miracles. He fed many thousands of people with very few pieces of bread and fish. He changed water into wine. He walked on the water. He cleansed the lepers, those people that had to go about when they were with this disease, crying out, "Unclean, unclean," so that people would stay away from them and they wouldn't transmit that disease to them. He cured that kind of person, even touching that person before he was cured, something that was unheard of. But that gospel that we preach bears witness within itself. It has proved its power upon our hearts. And when we speak about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the transforming power that the gospel brings to our lives, we can say for a fact that it has worked in our lives. We can attest to its work by what has happened to us, by what transformation it has accomplished in our lives. But this gospel is also something like we might say an everyday truth. It is to us, as it were, a saying or a proverb. He says, this is a faithful saying. It is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come here just to show us how to live so that we might gain eternal life by doing good. No. He came to give his life as a ransom. He came to pay the price that God required so that we might be saved. He paid it all. And this is an everyday truth. It is to us a saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It also is a gospel that claims our attention. We look at that verse and it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Worthy of all acceptance. We can't say, well, that gospel, it applies to my neighbor who happens to be indicted for some terrible crime that he's committed or some fraud that he's perpetuated upon the people of the city. No. We can't say that it only applies to them. It's worthy of all acceptance. It's worthy that all accept this gospel. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to be left out. And so the message that we bring is worthy of acceptation by all. You must believe it to be true, and you must appropriate it to yourself. It doesn't do to say, well, my mother's a Christian. My mother believes the gospel. My father believed the gospel. Isn't that good enough? No, it isn't. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. And he has to come into our lives and take a hold of us, as we say. And he'll never let us go. It's worthy of all acceptation. And you ought to appropriate it for yourself because it is worthy of your acceptance. It's not only worthy of my acceptance. You might say, well, oh, you've been a missionary for so many years. Of course, the gospel is for you. No, it's for all. It's worthy of acceptation by all. No one is to be left out because he says that it's worthy. And whatever is worthy, whatever God says is worthy, is for us to take note of. But what is this gospel that we preach? You see, the gospel that we preach is right here in that verse. The gospel that we preach is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that in the scriptures there's several mentions of the gospel. There's the gospel of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. But what we have here is the gospel of a person, the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, he is the anointed of God. He is the Christ, the one anointed of God, the one who came to his own, and his own received him not. He is the Savior of men. We're coming to that time of the year when we reiterate the fact that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what his name means. Savior of sinners. Savior of men. And that's what this gospel that we preach is all about. The gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We might think of him for a moment. He's not just a man, a good man that came into this world to show us how to live. But he is the God-man who came into this world for the express purpose of dying on Calvary's cross so that God could be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus, of him who accepts this gospel, who accepts this good news that there is salvation for sinners. And sinners, even such
as Paul was, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. Maybe some of us have made fun of the Lord Jesus. Maybe we've been injurious to Christians, calling them, as it were, do-gooders, you know. I saw something on television this morning that, on the newscast, that reminded us of the fact that we certainly are, as Christians, looked upon by many people in this world as just being do-gooders. A man over in Kenya who was gored by an elephant and was in a wheelchair has made it his life's task to tell that all that is happening there in Rwanda and all of the deaths and all of the killings and all of these things, that's a wonderful thing, he says. We need to depopulate this world. And the do-gooders that are out to save the world, they need to realize that people need to die, like the elephants that were overpopulated needed to die so that some could live. And he sounded so pious, and that's what we face today. The kind of world that says, oh, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the good news, trying to save people, that's outdated. We need to realize that, well, they're saying it in the religious world too, you know. You don't need to go out and preach the gospel. Everybody's saved. Everybody is going on the road that leads to God. And they even sign papers that say, well, we won't evangelize these people anymore. Helen and I spent 35 years of our lives seeking to win the lost in Brazil, seeking to win Roman Catholics to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they could know what Paul knew, that the Lord Jesus Christ died to save sinners and that he's willing to save any and all that come to God by him. But according to these latest documents that have been signed, that was all a waste of time. Why, these people are so wonderful. And yet, you see them down there sawing up their children and sacrificing their children to spiritists. Right in our city, they have 4,000 spiritist centers where people that are professing Roman Catholics are actually involved in demon worship. And they have taken children from our city to a neighboring city and sawn them in sunder and sacrificed them to demons. And I'm to say, well, sorry, they're Roman Catholics. We can't be angry with them. They believe in the same God that we do. Can I do that? Can I not preach the gospel? The gospel that we preach is the gospel of that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God and man in one person, and he died, and yet he lives forever. He is the one who died to save sinners. And that gospel is for sinners. For sinners such as we, such as those people in Brazil, Jesus died, and he made atonement for them. Our message is that they can be saved. That if they trust the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, he will save them for time and for eternity. The gospel is for sinners, because for sinners, he sent the gospel of pardon. And for such as we, he pleads in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God on high, and he's interceding for those who have placed their faith and trust in him. And for however deep of a sinner they are, he will forgive. The gospel is of effectual deliverance too. You see, it's worthy of acceptance, and it's Christ Jesus that came into the world, but he came into the world for a specific purpose, to save sinners. First of all, we have to realize that we are sinners. We have to realize that that's where God's Word puts us. We have to realize that we are the objects of his salvation. He didn't come into the world to save us by half measure. Or in other words, he didn't come into the world to help us be saved. He didn't come into the world so that we might learn how we can save ourselves by providing good works before God. No, He came into the world for the specific purpose to save sinners. He doesn't tell us, clean yourself up so that you can be worthy of being saved. He doesn't say that. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what He wants from us, a recognition of the fact that we need deliverance, a deliverance that He can provide, and that only He can provide. Deliverance from sin isn't provided by Grace Bible Chapel. It's not provided by any other organized church upon the face of the earth or any other organized religion. Deliverance from sin is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a message so very simple, but so often neglected by those who need it most. He came to save us wholly and effectually from our sins. He came to take charge of our lives. And He will never let go, as we said, sang in our song. So, why is it that we preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ today? Why is it that we want others to come to a saving knowledge of the one who saved us? Well, simply because we have been saved by it. Paul, in another portion of Romans, Romans chapter 1, made it very clear and plain. Romans 1 and verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's the power of God to salvation. That's why we preach it. We've seen that power work in our own lives. We've seen that power transform our manner of thinking. We've seen that power transform our manner of living. We've seen that power transform our relationship with our Creator God. We've seen that power transform our thoughts with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. We no longer use His name in vain. We love Him. We love Him, and we want to be called by His name. We want to be called simply Christians, those who are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, little Christs, if you were, emulating His life through the power that He gives us through salvation from God. We preach the gospel because we cannot help it. For there's something within us that compels us to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Compels us to tell of the miracle mercy that's been wrought in our hearts by grace. And we have that responsibility cut out for us. Paul puts it very beautifully in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. We preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ because we're compelled to. We understand that we're not living for ourselves. We're to live for God. We're to live for Jesus Christ. We're to live for the one who died for us, the one who took our place, the one who went to the cross of Calvary for our sin and for our iniquity. He died for us and He rose again, and so we should live for Him. Verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I like that. If any man be in Christ, he's telling us that there is a transformation to that person that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. A complete transformation. A transformation that's as different as night is from day. And he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, Paul doesn't just say the ministry has been given to him alone. He says it's been given to us. For those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that's our responsibility. And that's why we preach. It's our responsibility to minister Christ to others, to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The gospel is indeed something to be preached, and this is why we preach it, because we are ambassadors for Christ. A great missionary to India, I can't remember his name, but he was at one time offered the ambassadorship of England to the particular country in which he was working. And maybe some of you remember who that was. But he turned down that ambassadorship because he was an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He based his turning down of that ambassadorship for his country based upon this verse, we are ambassadors for Christ. He couldn't be an ambassador for a better one, for a better country than the heavenly country to which he was heading. So, why do we preach the gospel? These are the reasons. We've been saved by it. We cannot help it because we have an inward impulse to preach the gospel based upon the Word of God, based upon the fact that Christ died for us and we are to live for him. And this is one way that wherever we are, we can preach the gospel. We can be ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ. So going back to our text in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as Paul said, of whom I am chief, that leaves room for every one of us. Will you not believe a saying that is so sure? It's a faithful saying. It's not a saying that's just a frivolous thing that's repeated as some of our sayings are, that we have proverbs and so forth. It's a faithful saying. Will you not accept the truth that brings such glad results and peace and joy into the hearts of those that have accepted it? Will you not come to a Savior who is so suitable for the needs that we have? This is what he says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sinners such as we are. He wants us to be saved. And he is delighted when we trust him and put into practice those principles that he has laid down for us to follow. May we look to the Lord in closing word of prayer. Father, we're grateful this morning for the Word of God, for the fact that the Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit of God to pen these words, made it so very clear and plain that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Help us, our Father, to be faithful in proclaiming that message to others. Help any who are here this morning that have not placed their own personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to do so, that we have salvation, eternal salvation, and only in him, our Father. We ask that the words that we have spoken might, in some way, speak to hearts, and encourage us, each one who know the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him faithfully and to live lives that would bring honor and praise to his precious and holy name. We thank thee, our Father, for every person that's here this morning. We thank thee for those that are taking care of the children. We ask, too, our Father, thy blessings upon us as we leave this place, that we might go to our homes in safety, remembering that our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners such as we. Help us, our Father. We are a needy people. We need thy guidance. We need thy power in our lives. We give thee thanks and praise in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.